back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, author and horsewoman, Janice Gannon.
Thank you.
Janice, while discovering a less than savory side of the industry, as you say, you learned much about yourself and life itself, and wove your personal story of surviving an abusive relationship into this book. Tell us a little about your own experiences working in such a male-dominated society.
Because the women were just coming on in numbers, and we all were experiencing the same problems, I learned to trust the women and to network with them and make great friends. And we passed around information like who not to get caught with. So safety became something that we did ourselves. And a lot of the men did change their attitudes. There was a great story back then that women should never handle stallions because the stallion would know when you're on your period. I have never, ever known a stallion to care. But this was a common myth that was out there. So women would open the doors for other women in a great way.
No, I don't think that's exclusive to the horse industry either. I mean, I can remember my early working days, and we had similar networks in office environments too, you know. So hopefully that sort of thing doesn't exist as much
I think it still
anymore.
Exists in the few male-dominated industries, because I hear that. But, of course, the horse industry now is dominated by females.
Is it?
Very much so.
Well, who knew?
Well, because the women stayed in it.
Yeah.
And we just didn't get the number of young men coming through.
Interesting. So after 10 years, you left the track behind you. How did you move on to a different life?
I really springboarded my experiences from the track and took that forward into teaching. I didn't have a great background in formal riding, so I went back and started doing lessons with a certified instructor and got my certification. But my experiences with horses and the grooming and stuff helped me greatly through that, and also the fact that I could ride anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my exams, the one horse I was borrowing, went lame, and they had to put me on a pony and give me 5 minutes to ride this pony and then jump a course. And it didn't faze me at all because I was so used to getting on so many strange horses and riding, and that showed my strengths to my advantage, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And when did you start writing the Tales from the Track?
I actually wrote some of the stories at the time, but I actually started in 2014 getting back and writing. Quite a few things had changed, the use of computers.
Mm-hmm.
I was encouraged by a number of strangers to write my stories, and a friend of mine helped me find an editor, which I had never been able to find. And I also inherited some money, which allowed me to actually get the process going.
Right. What were the challenges that you faced in getting it published?
I actually had my husband do a lot of the work. It is self-published, but again, finding an editor was the biggest breakthrough for me, that she found the story within, the gem within the muck, as it were, that the book changed radically from the first write to the last.
Yeah. And just, because there's always this misconception that an editor rewrites your book, which of course is not true. So you rewrote the book, but she,
absolutely.
But she said, oh, this part is slow, or this part needs fleshing out. Or
lots of times I knew what the problem was, but she helped me find the answers. She would show me how I was jumping from idea to idea without making smooth transitions, for example.
Right.
And sometimes it was just a case of a line or two, or put this before that, that would make it flow. But what surprised me was how much the voice in a book is quite different sometimes from your speaking voice. That as when we're speaking, we must get an awful lot of our understanding from the gestures and people we're speaking with. But in a book, you must make it flow or the person feels disjointed.
Right. Interesting. So are you going to write another?
I actually have 3 books in the works, and Tales from the Track will be coming out on Kindle very shortly. I'm doing a quick re-edit of that, just more smoothing out things I've seen just in the last month as I prepared for this. But my next book will be called Spellbound by Horses.
Oh, great. And is it also based on life stories? Or is it
actually
fiction?
Bookends this. It's 4 years before and going through the process of becoming an instructor and giving back to the industry.
And the other two, are they?
Divine Equine will be my story of my show horse. He was an amazing character, one of the smartest animals I have ever worked with. And we had a career that was all over, but he could do anything that, you know, he jumped a cross-country course, he did dressage, he did Western, and he did them all well. So there are lots of horses that are champions in one area. There are few that can come out and be champions across the board.
Well, we'll have you back on when they're ready to publish.
Well, thank you.
And in the meantime, could you perhaps read us some more from Tales from the Track?
Life can change in the blink of an eye. On a pleasant July morning, as I pull Scotty up and start walking home, I hear someone calling, "Loose horse!" The horse in question has dumped his rider and is quietly trotting home. His exercise boy races down the track past me, ducks under the rail, and manages to cut in front of the horse. By waving his arms and yelling, he succeeds in turning the horse around, straight back into Scotty. Scotty panics as this horse races towards us. My horse wheels towards the outside rail of the training track. For a moment, it feels as if Scotty is going to jump, but he dumps me over the rail. Rather embarrassed, I have to lead Scotty home. Now Scotty is not only afraid of horses galloping up behind us, he is also terrified of horses coming at us. One morning, a couple of weeks later, I notice a horse and rider exit the barn on my right, heading for the training track. Scotty sees them too and tenses up. As they turn the corner towards me, Scotty, anticipating being run into again, freaks out and rears straight up. I realize my horse is coming over on top of me, and I let go. I slide over his tail and land in a heap. Scotty twists in midair to regain his balance. Then, using my right leg as a starting block, he gallops over me and runs off. A trainer who witnessed my accident comes to assist me. As he helps me to my feet, my right leg buckles under me. I look down at a goose egg already forming above my knee. As I sink to the ground, I ask the trainer to call the ambulance. There is no sign of Scotty. I pray that he does not injure himself. This horse does not have much of a sense of self-preservation, but there is nothing I can do. I hear the ambulance page to my location. A couple of minutes later, it arrives. The two professionals help me into the back of the vehicle. Seeing that I am not critically injured, the attendants drop me at my barn and leave me to arrange getting myself to the hospital. I am relieved to learn now that Scotty has already been caught and returned uninjured to the barn. A groom drives me to the hospital 10 minutes away. The leg is not broken, just badly bruised. I am sent home with crutches and painkillers. I spend 2 days on crutches and another 10 days at home, laid up. I have not had this much time off in years. My injury forces me to slow down and to seriously think about the state of my life.
Well, thank you, Janice. We've been speaking with Janice Gannon, a horsewoman and author of Tales from the Track. Janice, where can listeners buy your book?
This book is available on Amazon, and it will be out shortly on Kindle as well.
Okay, great.
And they should know it's spelled Tails is spelled T-A-I-L-S.
Yes, as in horse tails.
Absolutely.
And listeners, to connect with Felicity and me, please send your comments on the program, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all these shows archived and available to listen to at any time and from anywhere. We'd love to hear from you. Do contact us. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.